Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. We are here together for another quarterly check-in. It's already time for a Q2 check-in. I can't believe that.
Halfway through the year. Yes. Thank God. I'm actually quite excited. I'm feeling like 2021 starts now for me.
Well, that's a good idea.
I'm saying this to a few people. I'm like, full permission for 2021 to be really starting now. Really, like the rest was just, we're just getting through it. We were warming up. We were
limbering up.
And we're still on the Corona coaster. Do you know what I realised, Vicky? Do you remember when many, many, many moons ago, we were like, oh my God, it's been like 15 weeks since that we've been in this. It's been 15 months. Can we just take a moment to acknowledge that we have been going through this for 15 months? So yeah, it's really taken its toll on every single person on the planet.
God, this is why these check-ins are so good. And I know that we say this every time, but I had not realised how much I really needed a check-in to just look back on the last few months and go, ooh, okay, there's been a lot going on.
Yeah, just take a pause, take a breather, acknowledge what has been going on, not only in our own lives, but in the world around us and how that affects us. And I mean, I don't know about you, I'm good this week, I'm feeling much better this week, but the past couple of weeks, and I was talking about this in my Monday Crew podcast, like I was very much on the downturn of the Corona coaster and going through yet another wave of grief and anger and sadness and loss and frustration. And just when the sun suddenly disappeared, I don't know when it was, we had this like bout of sunshine and everyone was saying, oh, doesn't the sunshine make it, you know, it makes such a difference. And then all of a sudden it was gone and it was back to like autumnal weather. And it was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And I absolutely lost my shit and was raging at the sky. I was like, I don't have anyone to be angry at, so I'm just gonna. And I said in one of my IGTVs that if I were a religious person, I would say I was angry at God. That was like where my I just like, I have no one to be angry at, and just like, life, how dare you now take the sun from us. And I was just like, wow, okay, yes, this is taking its toll on all of us. And I was also, I think, processing some unprocessed stuff from the past 15 months. Anger and frustration and sadness that I perhaps hadn't had a chance to when we were just like trying to get through it all. I very much felt like that was happening. And I think it's so important to acknowledge that, because you can sometimes say to yourself, well, it's not as bad as it was a few months ago when we're in full lockdown. You know, we're able to see our friends now, we're able to go to restaurants, but it's still not normal. And we're going through a massive transition. And as we discussed in our last episode together, transitions are very discombobulating.
Yes, discombobulating.
How are you feeling right now, Vicky?
I feel really at peace at the moment, but I've definitely been through phases of anger as well, just feeling irritable, and sadness as well. There's been a lot of grieving and just making space to feel that sadness. And like you, it's not really about anything in particular. It's just the uncertainty and change. And I think the weather, I'm totally with you on that, because I think that like you get used to, when we had that bout of sunshine, you get used to that and you think, well, summer's here now, great, amazing. And then more uncertainty, because then it's changing every other day and you just kind of don't even know where you are with the weather. It's like, what?
Well, I think, but this is it, what I'm really noticing with people across the board. Like, I'm talking a lot more to people within companies, obviously clients, friends and things like that. But it's like, and experiencing it for myself, it's like our tolerance for things is much lower. So you're unable to tolerate things that, you know, I know that the English weather is variable. I know that we have periods in the summer where it feels like it's winter again, or at least autumn. But I just suddenly couldn't handle it. Like you say, it's just like, you know, the uncertainty. And I think also when the sunshine came, and obviously not everyone loves the heat and the sunshine. I like when it's uncomfortably hot. That's, I'm like, that's my happy place. But when the sunshine came, for me, it felt like hope had returned. So as when the sunshine went, it was just like, I cannot handle this. Like the hope is gone again. And it just made me realize, yeah, how much that the uncertainty and having your hopes dashed yet again, because we've had a lot of that, you know, recently, collectively in the UK, we were going to be coming out of lockdown. It's being lifted. Then it got delayed. You know, weddings were cancelled, weddings were postponed. Suddenly people, if they're going to Portugal now, is they have to quarantine for 14 days. It's like, oh, it's just yet more disappointment and more hopes dashed. And so the weather doing that to us as well was just, I'm done, I'm out. You can all go to hell. And by all, I don't know who exactly, again, I was like referring to like the weather gods. Oh, so angry.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling at peace now. I'm feeling really at peace this week because I think I made space for that sadness and that anger. How did you make space for it?
So I've been going back to Frame, a fitness studio near me, and doing rebounding trampolining, which I talk about nearly every podcast these days.
It's like your spiritual practice.
Yeah. I've been doing it with other people. So it's been amazing. The last few weeks I've been going off there every week, and there's certain movements when we're bouncing around where you're just punching the air and punching up and punching ahead of you and just like, you know, you're kicking out your legs. And I've been just like, just like really expressing a lot of rage on the trampoline.
And collectively.
Yeah, exactly. Doing it with other people. That's just been so amazing to have that sense of community because it's been the same people over the last few weeks. And now the instructor knows my name and it's just, we've got this thing going on and I just feel like I belong in this class and it's just this really lovely feeling. And that collective, yeah, as you say, it's that collective kind of, you know, expression of rage and you know, moment of connection as well. So I have just felt so much more at peace because I've had that outlet over the last few weeks. It's helped me immensely.
That's so, how did you think before, what made you want to return? Because obviously, as if anyone follows this podcast, they will know that Vicky has her own trampoline in her house and could trampoline at any time she wants to. What made you want to go back? Because were you sort of going back because of that collective, that sort of belonging, that sense of being part of a team, part of a tribe, part of a community again? Or was that a sort of surprising, because that sounds really powerful. Was that a sort of surprising bonus? Why did you want, because I was kind of thinking, well, I'll never go to a group class again because I can just do it at home. But I hadn't even thought about the fact that doing it collectively, feeling part of a group, you know, and because that's something we've missed so much. Is that why you went to it? Was that a sort of surprise element?
Well, so you said, oh, I could use my trampoline anytime I want. Not true, because my husband.
Yes, we have to remember also that Vicky has no doors in her home other than between their studio
and the bathroom.
The bathroom.
Yeah, so my husband is working and he has like 9 to 5 kind of hours, which I don't. So we came to a compromise reluctantly that I wouldn't exercise between those times when he's working to respect, you know, the time that he's working. And I did have a phase where I was getting up early and I was doing it in the mornings. But I just find that I don't naturally want to do it in the mornings, week on, week out, because I have seasons. And if I'm in, it's around my menstrual cycle, if I'm in more of an autumn winter season, a season within, then I'm just not really going to get up
for bouncing
and do
in the
it.
Morning.
Yeah, exactly. So I was feeling a bit resentful one morning and I thought, oh, I've just missed my slot to do my exercise. It was about 9:30 and I thought, oh, I actually want to do it now. And I remembered, oh, we can actually go outside and go and do things outside of the flat. And I'd just forgotten that that's now an option. So I had a look and there was a class that same day. And so that was the sense of community and how energizing it was to be with people, that was a happy accident, I think, that came about. And I didn't realize how much I needed that actually until I was there.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that prompted me to actually go out the house. And it's just really nice to have a different environment to exercise in and not have to do everything in the flat. So it was really amazing. And in yesterday's class, the instructor, who is amazing, she's so energizing and she just pours so much love into the class. She gives 200% and you just feel so energized afterwards because of her energy as well. And then at the end of the class, she was like, bye Vicky, see you next week. And it was just this sense of community that just felt so good.
Oh my god, your heart must have burst.
Yeah, I felt really, the last two classes I felt emotional in,
yes,
not in a way that I'm emotional about anything in particular, but I feel this rush in my body of emotions coming out. And I just feel this like I felt like I wanted to cry actually yesterday and last week. Just such a good release. And I didn't really know how much I needed it actually until I went. So that's been really, really amazing and supporting me.
Oh God, I can feel that emotion. I just, you know, because I think that's what I was saying before, that I think I have been processing stuff that perhaps I wasn't able to before, or perhaps only now I'm realizing what I had been missing. You know, sometimes when you get that thing back that you didn't even realize how much you needed it and how much you're missing it, that's when, you know, that's when the emotion actually comes up. That's where the grief of what you didn't have before kind of comes to the surface.
Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, I've been saying for a while now, as we start to move out of lockdown, this could be the time for a lot of people where actually the wheels come off and the burnout really kicks in, or the processing of emotions really starts to happen. Because when you're going through stuff, you're having to cope, you're just having to get through it, you're having to suppress emotions just to kind of, you know, survive and get by and hold it all together. And if you're supporting other people, whether it's family or clients, or, you know, you just kind of have to hold it together. So it makes sense that it's now for a lot of us that it's really, you know, sort of affecting us or really kicking in, the toll that this has taken in ways that it wasn't affecting us before. And so that's why we need to go really gently. And you and I met up the other week, didn't we? Went for brunch in a place that we have gone so many times before. And both of us, I was going up in the lift at Shoreditch House and I was just like, I'm genuinely nervous. I'm meeting, not because to meet you, obviously. I mean, that would be really like terrifyingly weird if I was nervous to meet you. But just being in an unfamiliar place, the only places that I know now that I'm familiar with are my home, like maybe, and you know, a few other people's homes, my kind of local vicinity. I don't mind getting on the train because I've been doing that now and again. So that feels familiar. But anything outside of that, God, going to a restaurant, interacting with other people, like asking you what you want, I'm still finding that really discombobulating, really overwhelming, and surprisingly, like, not nerve-wracking, that's too extreme, but there's definitely nervousness there. And you were feeling the same, weren't you?
I was feeling exactly the same. It's like the etiquette of walking in somewhere.
And yes!
Just, I don't know what it is exactly, but it's, I had anxiety about it as well. And I got there early, which is rare for me, and I was just sitting there, and I realized, when I sat down, I realized, oh, I just feel, you know, I'm kind of out here in the wilderness sitting down and in this restaurant and waiting for you to come and just feeling a little bit out of sorts. So relieved when you sat down and you said you were feeling the same, because, it was quite a relief to hear that I'm not the only one. And I'm sure we are not the only ones who are.
Absolutely not. You said something to me. You said that, you've almost feeling that you got a bit agoraphobic since, since all this happened. And I mentioned it to another friend when I met a friend a few days later for dinner. And I said this to her, and it's so funny. I mean, I've only been out a few times, but each time with you and then this other friend I went with, we started the conversation. We've seen each other and just taken a few moments to talk about how, like, you know, not again, not nerve-wracking, but just unsettling, this is all feeling like going out again. And I said to her, well, Vicky was saying that she almost feels like she's become a bit agoraphobic. And that's not to sort of, you know, make light of people who actually are agoraphobic, but, you know, that sort of nervousness about leaving the house and things feeling a bit, putting you on edge because you're out of the home. And she said, oh, I was so glad you've said that because I've been thinking the same. You know, so I think a lot of us are feeling unsettled by what should feel so normal, or exhausted by what should feel so normal. And I think a lot of people can sometimes be keeping that to themselves and thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with me? And that's why it's so important we all talk about it, because it's like, I'm the most sociable, I love going out there, you know, normally, and I'm finding it, I am loving it, but it's definitely coming with a strong slice of feeling just a bit nervous about it all and finding it all a bit unsettling and overwhelming. And it's weird. It's that you say, it's the etiquette. And also then it's not normal as well. So it's like, oh, we're getting back to normal. Yeah, but it isn't normal because I'm trying to listen to a waiter or waitress with a mask on. And every time I go to the loo, I have to scrabble around and make sure I've got my mask and, you know, don't want to, like you say, you know, break the etiquette rules of how we're all supposed to be doing this. And, oh, you just can't fully relax.
Mm. Well, I actually got caught short in Frame, the fitness studio that I mentioned, at Frame even. Usually they have towels there and you pay £1 for a towel and, you know, means you don't have to carry a wet towel around all day. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll have a shower after my class. And I had something after the class, so I did need to shower afterwards. And I got there and then they were like, obviously it's all different now. And they were like, no towels. I'd brought my shower stuff, but I didn't have the towel. So I had to just go for it, just have a shower and just kind of wait to be dry.
Like a cormorant on a rock, just with your arms out, just like slowly letting the sort of the air dry you.
And I saw some blue roll and I thought, oh, I just have to wait until I'm quite dry and then just pat myself with it was just, yeah. So, you know, there's times where you really get caught short with the new etiquette.
Yes, exactly. Oh, but it is good to laugh about it and just realise that, you know, so many of us are going, pretty much everyone. I haven't really met anyone going, oh, I'm absolutely fine with it. And I really am thinking of the people who are working in restaurants and bars and stuff. And how they must be feeling. How did they feel on their first days when they were like, right, I've only been speaking to my two housemates for the past 12 months and now I'm meeting new people and, you know, taking the sort of, you know, orders and making small talk. And must be hard.
Yeah.
It must be hard. And really everyone, you know, obviously I'm talking about it a lot about burnout, but like it's a very, very real issue. I mean, everyone I've spoken to, from like the heads of companies through to all, you know, employers at all sorts of different levels, I don't know anyone who isn't like feeling burnt out, exhausted, and not able to be as productive and not able to focus like they once did. And that's really, really tough. One of the things I was reminding myself of when I was on my downturn of the Corona coaster a couple of weeks ago, was just like, do not expect yourself to have the same energy and same levels of productivity that you're used to, because, you know, just the underlying uncertainty is really taking its toll, is draining us of our energy. 15 months.
Wow. It's kind of unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. You know, imagine if we were told that. Imagine if you were like, you're going to have at least 15 months of living in and out of lockdown, of having the NHS, 15 months of going through what at times felt like living through a war zone. Like, it's horrific what frontline workers have had to deal with, things that they weren't, you know, I've heard so many, you know, doctors and nurses talking about how they were never trained for this. They were never supposed to be making these kinds of life and death decisions to this degree that they were having to make. Like, so traumatizing. And for 15 months. I don't know what we're going to do to look after all the frontline workers and help them to recover, but not giving them the pay rises they deserve is just criminal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, God, Vicky, how much longer? I can't bear it.
Who knows?
Who knows? So normally we go through questions one by one, but I think it's quite good this time for our check-in to just kind of, yeah, just talk about how we've been getting through these past 3 months of, you know, transition, still dealing with the uncertainty. Mm. What have you found has really helped you kind of ground yourself, but also find things where you do have certainty and you sort of, you know, what have you focused on that you've been like, so for me, it's definitely gardening, definitely also learning. Like when I'm learning about stuff, new stuff, I picked up a book the other day called Goddesses in Every Woman. It's so good. I found it in my attic. So weird. I'd never bought it. And there it was waiting for me. And I started reading it and it just highlighted, it's so fascinating exploring kind of different female feminine energy, like Aphrodite, Artemis, like, and in ways that we've done goddess archetypes before with Helen Johnson, an episode years ago, and it's always fascinated me, but I was just learning it to a whole new degree and finding it so interesting, understanding myself in a whole new way. And that for me has felt really, really grounding, really nourishing, because I'm learning, I'm growing from it. It's inspiring me. It's really engaged, fascinating me. And I found that, I was just doing that this weekend, that and gardening and not being on a screen much, because I know when I'm watching a lot of Netflix, a lot of box sets, it's usually a sign that I'm not okay, that I'm trying to just numb and escape and distract myself. So I said limited how much I was on a screen. And the combination of gardening and also learning about gardening, but this thing of learning has been really... it's been really good, because I think that takes me away from the whole what's going on in the world and uncertainty, and has me feeling a sense of, I don't know, growth and it's been such a balm for my soul, I think, to be engaging in that kind of stuff. What's helped you?
Hearing you talk about the goddess book has reminded me of how much I've enjoyed reading Conversations on Love by Natasha Lunn.
Isn't it good?
It's so amazing. She's we've already recorded the interview and it's going to be live on the 15th of July. So you'll hear the podcast episode all about the book. But it just, like, reading a book on love, I just felt in love the whole time I read it. And it just really, like, warmed my heart, opened my heart. I just felt so held. And it was just such a nourishing experience to read that book. And then it also reminded me, or prompted me, to reread a book that I read last year around a similar Corona coaster moment. I think it was it's when I took myself to a spa last year. I read Bell Hooks' All About Love, and it really supported me then, and it had the same effect on me this time. So I'm just halfway through reading it again, and I've been reading it in the bath, and just again, it's that feeling of being in love reading about love.
Oh yes. Oh, gorgeous. And did I lend you the book Love in Colour?
Yes, I'm also reading that too. Yes.
Oh my God. I think that's one of my all-time favourite novels. It was just my kind of book.
I think is focusing on the things that you can have influence over, that you, where there is certainty, as you said before. And so exercise and reading and gardening and all those things are within our control. No one can take them away from us, which is the beauty of it. Mm. Not even the weatherman.
Not even the weatherman.
Weather person.
I think that's why I was so furious at the weather, because I'd been really enjoying swinging in a hammock and then suddenly I couldn't because it was drizzling and it kind of ruins the hammock vibe.
And also my morning routine as well. So that's actually one of my commitments. I just know that that time in the morning is always for me and it's something that I can rely on. So that's also been really grounding, just having that opportunity to connect with myself. I know that that morning time is for me.
Okay, so shall we jump into the commitments from our goodbye 2020, hello 2021, and see, remind ourselves of what we were, what we had committed to do between in April, May and June, how we've got on and what our commitments are between now and October, which... How has this happened? Ooh. It's like, I don't understand how that feels like, oh my goodness, how are we already there when it's been the slowest slog through 15 months? But anyway, time is so confusing. What were your commitments? What had you remembered them? Because I had fully forgotten what my commitments were.
No, I hadn't, but I have done them. So that's good.
Great. What were they?
So recommit to my morning ritual.
Yes, I was thinking that when you said that you'd been enjoying your morning ritual, I was like, aha, that was one of your commitments.
Yeah, it's so funny because my goddess mornings, as I call them, are usually, you know, when I have a bit more time for self-care, like more of a special morning on a Friday or the weekend. But recently I've been having them most weekday mornings as well. I've just really needed
so
it. It's just been
good.
Yeah.
What do your goddess morning consist of?
So depending on whether I'm walking the dog, I would wake up, have my tea, and it's always a builder's Yorkshire tea in the mornings. Have my tea, a glass of water, and then I'll do a meditation. So I love doing the Tara Brach meditations and also Sarah Blondin meditations on Insight Timer and also Headspace as well. So I'll do that for 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes. I might journal. I don't journal every day, but I might also journal, just do 3 pages, stream of consciousness, just write, just free write for about half an hour. Then I might walk the dog if I've got Buddy that day. So we'll go for an hour around the park, my local park. Might listen to a podcast. Sometimes I have a bath with Epsom salts first thing and might read a book. Got a few things that I love to do.
It always blows my mind that you have a bath in the morning.
Yeah. The other morning I actually had an Epsom salt bath with lavender oil while I read All About Love, bell hooks, and it was such a good start to the morning. It really set me up for a great day. So that was my first commitment. And my second commitment is to continue with my Ayurveda journey. So I've been working with an Ayurveda practitioner over the last few months, which I've just actually finished. I've just had my last session.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've just recently had my last session with her. So that's something that I've been focusing on over the last 6 months. That was a recommitment from the last quarter. And then the third commitment was to recommit to my weekly writing ritual of my Sunday love letters.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, and I really wanted, because I'd started this in Q1, for Q2, I really just wanted to strengthen my writing skills and... you know, really strengthen the habit. And I feel now that it's such a part of my my weekly routine. So yeah, it's taken 6 months, well, probably a bit less actually, for it to become a kind of automatic thing. But yeah, it's been such a nourishing weekly ritual for me. It's just such a form of self-love. I love the act of service. I love the connection and the feedback and the emails that I get from people afterwards. They just make my day.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. And it's a really good point you make, though, that it's taken 6 months for that practice to really kind of bed in. And I think it's such an important point, because people be like, well, if I really wanted to do it, then wouldn't I just naturally do it? No, it's not how it works. And particularly when it's something like writing, there's so much of your own shitty committee that you're having to overcome and sort of wrestle with in the early days. But, you know, creating any habit, it takes time. And there's this sort of talk about it taking 30 days. Well, actually, apparently that's not true. It does take a lot longer. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. I'm sort of wanting to weave in new practices doing Donna Lancaster's Deepening Into Life. And I just had to remind myself the other day, it's going to take a while before this becomes even a 3 times a week doing my shaking, listening to like the music to kind of really just shake things out. It really works for me, but nevertheless, it takes time for me to kind of start doing it, making space for it, making time for it. And I think it's just important to recognize that. And it doesn't mean that maybe you just don't want it enough. It's like, it takes time and energy to build any new habit, even if you really want to, even if you know how nourishing it is for you.
Yeah.
You know, so 6 months, it's just good to hear that it's taken about 6 months for you to really get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And did you do all of them?
Yep.
Oh, Vicky. Well done. Gold stars. I gave myself really easy commitments because at the end of Q1, I was just like, it had just been such a rough start to the year that I was just like, let's make this super easy. So my first commitment was to really enjoy my book launch. So I launched Burnt Out, came out into the world. And I did really enjoy it. I did really enjoy it. It was really exciting to have the book out there. And I didn't really, it was still crazy though. I wasn't expecting, there was a real, I said to someone, wow, I wasn't prepared for just like kind of the what it would open up in terms of dreams and new dreams and visions for what I wanted for the future and opportunities. And it almost like at one point, like my feet came off the ground and then I sort of had to get myself back down again. But it was, I really enjoyed it. It was really exciting. I did then do exactly what I was told not to do, which was to say yes to every opportunity to do talks and things about burnout. And then I wouldn't say I burnt out. I'm talking about burnout, but I did get very exhausted. I was pulling my own book out and going, oh yes, that's what I need to do to fully recover. The second one, really enjoy meeting up with friends. Like that was a commitment. Yes, I did. I have really been enjoying meeting up.
That as a commitment.
Really enjoy it, you know, and I have really enjoyed it. That was like the easiest commitment I've ever given myself. But I quite like that I was giving myself such easy wins because it just shows a real kindness and gentleness that I was offering myself at the end of Q1. Mm. And then I had completely forgotten I'd written this down. I really wanted to enjoy connecting with the garden and learning about plants. And I really have for a phase, I'd sort of kind of forgotten about it. Wasn't spending so much time. I was basically spending time in the hammock rather than really connecting with the garden. But over the last couple of weeks, I've really got back into it and absolutely loving it. And then I had the bonus of listening to Power of Privilege by June Sarpong on Audible, which I'd completely forgotten about. But yesterday I was driving for about an hour and was listening to it again. So I'm halfway through that. So I haven't finished Power of Privilege. So that's the one thing that I'm carrying through. So I was kind of looking at, as we do in the journal, you know, what didn't you do on your list? And what do you think's got in the way of you doing it? And so for me, it was forgetting my commitments, which I frequently do. So it was, you know, lucky that I'd given myself easy ones that were easy wins. But it's just a reminder that just writing the commitments down in my journal isn't enough. Like I have to either schedule it into my calendar or habit stack. So I put this in my book. This comes from Atomic Habits, the book Atomic Habits. Mm. And the author talks about habit stacking. So think of a habit you already have, a regular habit, and attach what you want to be a new habit to it. So I wrote down in the question, do you want to carry this commitment through? Yes, I do. I want to finish listening to it. I love it. I love June Sarpong's work. She's just, she's brilliant. And so I said, yes, I do. And I'm going to spend time listening to it while gardening. because I can't stop myself from gardening. It's all I ever want to do at the moment. So if, and it's quite nice listening to an audio book or a podcast while I do that. So not always, sometimes I just like listening to the birds and just being still, but sometimes it's nice. If I'm doing some boring raking or weeding, Vicky, to listen to something at the same time, or even when I'm doing housework, which is less regular. But then there is a question. Take a moment to remind yourself of your focus for 2021. Return to the list you made on page 66. What on that list appeals to you the most right now? Is there anything you want to add to it? I'd forgotten about that question. It's a good one. Did you write anything in? Oh, God, I just suddenly seen what I wrote. Did you write anything in there?
Yeah, I wrote go on holiday.
Yes. Have you got anything booked yet?
I'm going to Scotland.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going in a couple of weeks.
Oh my God, amazing. I think I know who you're going with.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, one of my mutual friends has a family home over there, so... And this friend has been saying to me for 20 odd years that we've known each other, oh, we should go to my family home in Scotland. And I'm always like, yeah, great. And now we're finally doing it 20 odd years later. So I'm really excited.
Brilliant. Oh, I'm so pleased to hear that. Mine was. So my word for 2021 was magic, which I've been regretting ever since I set that intention, because it has felt anything but magic. There have been magic moments, but nevertheless, I decided, okay, what I want to add to that. Oh my God. Learn how to propagate plants, which means taking leaves from plants and so that they can grow roots and you can start new plants. But to me, that feels like magic. I was like, oh my God, I can take some of my favourite houseplant. I can take some of my favourite plants in the garden and I can learn how to grow new plants. I know gardeners out there, people who've been doing this for years, will be like, wow, is that really? Or maybe they are. They do feel excited about that. But for me, that feels like that is the magic of nature. You can take a leaf and grow a new plant. Fons took a branch from an oak tree from the park about a year ago, and he came back and he stuck it in the ground because we've been watching on Masterclass. I can't remember what he's called, the like rebel gardener or something like that. And he said something. You can just take, you know, sometimes you just take a branch from a tree and stick it in the ground, and it will start to grow as a tree.
Wow.
I know, and that is magic. And so we've got this little oak tree. We're growing in the worst place in the garden. We're going to have to take it out eventually. It's under another tree. But he just whacked it in there. And now we're growing an oak tree, like it's full of leaves. And so that is what I'm going to be doing. That's my magic that I've added to my list of magic.
That's so cool. That's fascinating. I didn't know that this was a thing, that this was even possible. Propagating, wow.
Propagating. So now I've discovered... there's an actual term for it, propagating. I'm going to start experimenting. And it's funny though, there's a part of me that's like, oh God, I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to fail. It's like, that's fine if a basil leaf that you've taken off a plant doesn't grow roots. Like, but it's so funny the stuff that comes up, but like trying, you know, I'm a beginner and learning again. And even with something, it's like something like that, there's that the shitty committee's like, oh God. But what if you try it and it doesn't work? It's like, I should expect it to perhaps not work at the start, and some will and some won't. Like, it's really not the end of the world. But yeah, so it's just funny. That's on my list, Vicky. So what are your commitments for this next quarter?
So first commitment, go on holiday and switch off for a week.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen to that.
Yep. Number two is to start creating a love coaching online course, which we've been wanting to do for so long. So wheels are in motion for that. So I need to put some time aside now over the next few months to just get it, get the momentum going around it. So really excited about that. And also I am going to try two recipes from my new Ayurveda book.
Oh,
I bought this cookbook ages ago. I haven't opened it yet, and I was feeling a little bit Oh, I don't know. Give myself a hard time because I haven't got into the Ayurveda cooking bit yet.
Right.
And then I realized, this can be a commitment. This is fine. Q2 was always the time when I was going to do it. Q3 even was always the time when I was going to do this one. So, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I wanted to ask you actually. So has this Ayurvedic journey, has it, you know, really been what has the experience been? Has it given you the sort of results you wanted or helped you in the way you wanted?
So it's going to be a lifelong project, I think. There's so much to learn with it. It's really fascinating learning about it because you're just learning about the body and yourself and humans and rhythms of nature. And yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to learn about. So all of the sessions that I've had, I've mainly just been absorbing a lot of information. I also did a cleanse. I did a 3-day cleanse where I cooked this Ayurveda dish, and you have it 3 times a day, and you have this medicine as well to reset, give your body a reset, basically. And one of the things that I noticed afterwards was, because your taste buds have had this reset, you just start craving food in a way that I've never felt before. So have you ever seen in the film City of Angels with Nicolas Cage? Have you seen the film?
No.
He's basically an angel.
Oh my God, were you Nicolas Cage, an angel that had never eaten before?
Yeah, he's an angel. And is it Meg Ryan? Is it Meg Ryan?
I haven't seen it, actually.
I'm pretty sure it's Meg Ryan. She's she takes him to the market and he's like, what is this? And I think there's a scene with an apple or a pear or something. And she's like trying to describe what eating is like. And I felt I went to this organic shop after my cleanse, after I finished my cleanse. And I was just looking at cheese and tomatoes and olive oil. I was like, oh my God, all this food has been there the whole time. And I've been ignoring it. I need to make salads. I need to make soups.
Wow.
I've just been learning so much. The whole thing has been amazing. It's been transformational, and it's a journey that I'm still on. I'm still integrating all that I've learned, all of the lessons that I've learned. But it's fascinating.
So interesting. Do you want to include in the show notes your Ayurvedic practitioner who has a wonderful name?
Oh, she does. She's called Selena Van Orden. I do call her Dr. Selena at home because otherwise my husband Pav gets confused, like, which Selena?
Why Selena suddenly advising you on your nutrition and eating habits?
Why Selena sending you medicine in the post?
Oh, amazing. Right, so I'll go through my commitments for the next quarter. So the first one, much like you, Vicky, we're course creating, is to create a course that takes people from exhausted to thriving in 30 days.
Yeah.
So I don't yet have I'm playing around with names for it, but so I'm in the process of that. I was on a post-it frenzy a few weeks ago, and now just playing around designing it. And yeah, so that's it. That's commitment number one. So my second commitment is to start a new podcast that I've been cooking up an idea for. So I'm probably going to start that around September. It may end up being October, but I'd like to go for having that commitment over the next 3 months. So I start, you know, jingles and figuring it out, and I've got a name for it, but I won't let you guys know quite yet, but watch this space. I'm excited
so
about that.
Exciting.
Yay. I obviously already do the Monday Crew mini podcast every Monday, but this will be interviewing people, so, and it kind of be tied in with that whole vibe. So the third commitment is to book in time to spend on two courses that I'm doing at the moment. One is Donna Lancaster's Deepening Into Life, and the other one is redoing Nova Reed's anti-racism course. So at the end of last year, she reshot all her videos. Even if I were doing the same course I'd done before, I wanted to do it. But now I'm watching these new videos, and she's sort of, you know, It's so inspiring. It's such a powerful course. But I wanted to put that as my third commitment to first of all acknowledge that doing a course really does take energy. Like I sometimes sign up to courses and think, oh, that'd be nice. I'll do that along the side. But actually, it's really important to recognize the energy it takes and the time that you need to create in order to do courses and really honor them. So rather than doing last minute homework, which is slightly what I sometimes do, but that's not going to work with deepening into life. So yeah, really making the time for that and then carrying through my bonus one, which is to finish listening to Power of Privilege by Jun Sarpong. But so I'm definitely putting commitments in this time where I'm setting myself bigger challenges than I did last time, which was like, enjoy meeting your friends. This time it's like, because this time I've got the energy for it. And these are the things that I do want to get done over the next 3 months. So yeah, it feels good to put a stake in the ground and play towards both those, particularly the course and the podcast, play towards those outcomes. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So excited. And we're going to have a little session on our courses this next quarter, aren't we? I can't wait for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talk one another through them. So yeah, really exciting. So we'll put lots of links in the show notes, your newsletter, My Monday Crew podcast, and other things that we've mentioned along the way, which I can't remember at this moment in time, but I know there were moments where we said, we'll put it in the show notes. So oh, it's always so good. I do love doing the check-in in the journal, but I have to say, talking it through with someone is really the most nourishing part for me. So if you do this if you've got the journal and you do these check-ins, even if you've got a friend who doesn't own the journal, feel free to share the questions with them and sit down and talk about what the past 3 months has been like, because particularly everything we've been going through, I think it's so important we take a pause, take a step back and just reflect on what we've been going through and what we're going through at the moment. It makes such a difference, doesn't it, Vicky?
A huge difference. Just to take stock and acknowledge everything, because it can be so easy to just kind of, I guess, think you're the only one, you know, feeling these feelings around lockdown and everything else. So it's just so, so nourishing to take that pause, take that moment to reflect.
It helps to lighten it for me as well, actually. You know, when you're talking about how, I do find it unsettling still going out. It's just like you can laugh about it a bit and realise that you're not alone and it's all right. We're allowed to find it all a bit weird still. It's okay. We're all feeling it. It's not just me. And it helps to lighten it a bit as well.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device.
And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.